Good morning, and welcome back to your morning tradition here on Magnificat Radio and MagnificatMedia.com. Traditional Catholic radio is where we are.
Living our faith.
All right. And our guest, Kathy Heckenkamp from OurLadyOfGoodSuccess.com, talking about Quito, Ecuador, and canonical coronation anniversary going on today and all the happenings down there. And Kath, I wanted to get back to coming up on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, the 3rd, is when they actually transfer the statue. They do a solemn procession. Now, for those of us who can't be in Quito, and those of us, is there going to be any sort of video feed or anything, do you know?
Well, I'm certainly hoping so. I do have a contact that I kind of check in with her every day, and she's, you know, telling me that it is being taped, and, you know, I can't be down there this year, which I was really disappointed, but Our Lady gave me a lot of work to do in these 2 weeks that are transpiring. So, yes, I'm hoping that there will be something, and what they do, you know, so we have the Rosary and the Dawn really early in the morning, like 4:30, 5 o'clock is where they actually started, and they go through the town, and it is amazing because I've never seen this in the United States of America, where you go down there, it's 4:30 in the morning, nobody's out, okay? So you're, like, walking through the streets, and you get to the church, and they open the doors at 4:30, and all of a sudden, you know, like, these people are coming from, like, nowhere. Some people are taking taxis. Some people are walking, you know, into the point where the whole church is packed by 5 o'clock. There's people that can't even get in. Okay, and these are just, like, little Ecuadorian people that I'm, like, a giant compared to them. I'm 5'5". So these people, so it's like, they're hordes of these little people that are coming in, and they're coming from nowhere, and it's chilly, you know, so they're kind of bundled up. But for a Wisconsinite, it seems like it's springtime, so it's not that bad. Because, you know, but they're all bundled up with their scarves and their mittens and their hats and all that. And, but they're all ready to go on this procession at 5 o'clock in the morning. And
beautiful.
Then the police are there, okay, so the militia's out there, and they're helping, and they're smiling, and they're accepting all this. And then, lo and behold, all of a sudden you hear fireworks.
What?
And there's fireworks booming at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, holy cow.
And a band playing, you know, not exactly the best band in the whole world, so you got a little off-key playing there. So can you imagine if people would see this or witnesses in, like, in the little town of Oconomowoc, people would be, like, up in arms about it. We'd be shut down in a second. But no complaints. Nobody's yelling out the window or throwing anything at anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just beautiful. So the procession goes on without a hitch, and the band follows, and the fireworks follow all the way through the historical town of Quito. And Our Lady processes, and we're saying the rosary. There's hymns that are sung in Spanish. Of course, the rosary is said in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So it is something that the likes you have not seen in the United States of America. And I always say that I've left part of my heart down in Quito.
But you know what, Kathy? Let's think about this. Because I don't know that this has never happened in the United States, because I would really love to find out about more about this. Maybe Mr. Garrison or somebody could give us a little background. But back in the days when we had people here who were from, let's say, the old country, the Italians, the Irish, the Catholics that came over, and those neighborhoods, you know, I think they had processions and festivals.
Yeah, I think they did, too. They had the, you know, the Blessed Sacrament, Corpus Christi, and the month of May, the month of the Rosary. I think in their neighborhoods they did.
And it's sad. It's sad we've lost that heritage.
Well, sure. And the thing is that, you know, because, and I'm a traditional Catholic from the age of, like, early teenager, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, the Feast of the Purification never made a big deal about it, okay? I've never seen it. The Feast of St. Blaise, oh, yeah, I always had my throat blessed.
Right.
We were just talking about that.
But it never was a big deal. I mean, it should be a holy day of obligation in my heart, okay?
Yes.
But it wasn't, and it hasn't been. So, you know, then you see them getting up at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning so they can be there at 5 because they're taking taxis and all that stuff. So, for me, I had never seen anything in this, in my life like this, because there's thousands of people, you know, 5,000, okay, at least, that show up. So in the middle of the night, in the dark, you know, you only see the crescent moon and a little star, and that's it, you know, and so, you know, it's amazing to me. So, and they're clamoring for their candles and in the church and having their rosaries touch the miraculous statue. And,
all to honor
all
Our Lady.
It's all for Our Lady, yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah, so you won't see it up here, but that doesn't mean that someday it can't happen.
That's right.
You know, but we, again, we have to have the purification or the restoration. And so it is an important feast day for us as traditional Catholics, and we have to recognize this devotion as being really important. You know, even the image of the candle, the candle represents our Lord.
Right. Uh-huh. As we've learned from our friend Louis Tafari, candles are, and I don't think people really understand how deeply tied to the liturgy candles are. Louis explains it very well. But candles, that light of our Lord, and blessed candles. I mean, and then we go ahead, like you said, St. Blaise, you know, with the crossed candles, and they touch your throat and all that. Candles.
Right. So, you know, because blessed candles represent our Lord in regards, I will quote Abbot Geringer from the liturgical year on the Feast of the Purification. Mm-hmm. And this dates, the mystery of today's ceremony has been frequently explained at liturgies dating from the 7th century. And according to St. Ivo, they said the wax, which is formed from the nectar of the flowers by the Virgin Bee, always considered as the emblem of virginity, signifies the virginal flesh of the divine infant, who diminished not, either by his conception or his birth, the spotless purity of his blessed mother. The same we would have seen in the flame of the candle, symbol of Jesus, who came to enlighten the darkness. St. Aslam bids us to consider three things in blessed candle: the wax, the wick, and the flame. The wax, he says, is the protection of the virgin bee, which is like our Lady. Mm-hmm. The flesh of our Lord, the wick, which is within, is his soul. The flame, which burns on the top, is his divinity. So it's very important, that symbolism of the blessed candle. And, of course, we take them home. We put them in a drawer. And what do we, sometimes we don't remember to use them. You know, we use them for, we're supposed to be using them for storms.
Right.
And even I pull them out when there's been a terrible situation where we don't know the condition of a, you know, maybe an accident or something like that. And that's what we're supposed to be using them for, is to dispel the evil spirits.
That's right.
To keep us safe. And I was even told by a priest once, you know, who believed in this prophecy of 3 days of darkness.
I was just going to say, 3 days of darkness.
That you need to have a blessed candle from the Feast of Candlemas.
There
you go. There
so
it is.
I thought that was really interesting.
Kathy,
not just any blessed candle, but a feast from the Feast of Candlemas Day. And it totally makes sense, because
it does.
You know, if it's going to dispel storms, if we want protection, they have the special rite that goes along with this blessing of the candle.
Kathy, so in an effort to push forward a more of a recognition of Our Lady and Our Lady of Good Success and the Feast of Candlemas, and putting that together, what is it that we could suggest, or you would suggest, people at home? We can't all go to keto, so
no.
We get up at 5 and we're going to process around the house, I think.
I would say to you, it's important to prepare ourselves for that day. And of course, the novena, I've spoken about the novena and the 9 days, and of course you know that Our Lady had the first novena with the apostles before Pentecost. So I think that is a very important thing to do, because we all have certain problems in these times. We all have extraordinary conditions that we need prayers for, and whether it's people that are sick with cancer or whatever, we should start at least with the novena. And then if we can get to Mass on February 2nd, I think that's a really important thing. Even though it is not a holy day of obligation, for us mothers that are homeschool people, we certainly can take the time out and try to get to Mass at least on that day. And try to, I know that sometimes it's really hard, but try to encourage maybe others to do the same thing, or even the priest, if they're not aware of the importance of Candlemas Day, to try to get them to have a special event and try to encourage people to come and maybe even have a little celebration. This is actually the last day of Christmas, okay? And a lot of people in the old days kept the tree up until this day.
Until Candlemas, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, and I mean, I had a priest that told me that his mother kept it in the living room, and I do too. I do it as a sign that this is the way it used to be, and so my Christmas tree's still up. And I don't care if the neighbors think I'm weird. But,
oh, no.
That's the way it is.
The neighbors thinking you're weird is what a great opportunity to explain it, though.
Exactly.
Nobody's asked me.
We have a little booklet that I don't know where we found this, but it's called Family Christmas Customs, and it's called, the Liturgical Press, Collegeville, Minnesota. This goes back a long way, but it goes through from, I mean, all through Advent, and the last page of Christmas Family Customs is the Feast of the Presentation and Candlemas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it is. It's the last day of Christmas. So it is.
Right.
There's a cosmic tie in there that I think we can only begin to totally understand, really.
Right. And so, you know, close on the heels of this, of course, is Lent. So,
yes.
You know, there are so many people that throw their tree out December 26th or, you know, January 2nd or whatever, and Christmas is over for them.
Right.
I have always loved Christmas. I'm sorry. Even since I was a little kid, I just love Christmas. And, you know, to be able to see the nativity scene and baby Jesus in the crib and to meditate on that, because otherwise it's gone so fast.
Yes.
And, I mean, there's a certain beauty in thinking about our Lord coming as a little infant, and then, you know, of course, we're every Sunday there's something different, you know, the three kings and His holy name and everything. So, you know, to meditate on this before we get into the more solemn Lent, which was never my favorite, but I'm trying to, you know, it's a lot better now. I'm trying to meditate on the Passion and offering things up, because that's a very important part of the liturgical year, and get a lot of graces.
Well,
so, but, you know, it's a beautiful, this feast day is beautiful.
Well, Kathy, please keep us informed as to whether or not, if you can find out if there is a live video, and if I know they're going to videotape, you said somebody is going to get video of the whole thing in Quito.
Oh, yeah, I certainly do think that there will be something. And I will definitely check on that.
But if there is a live video feed, because more and more people are doing those, and
yeah, I haven't heard. I would think I would have heard that by now.
Okay.
So, but for the feast day, I will check on that, and then I will get back to you.
Okay.
If it's possibility,
right.
And but I know that they are doing filming for various different things pertaining to the feast day, Mother Mary Anna, and I'm hoping that we will be able to get some of that, and if not, by February 2nd, at least after, and to be able to help spread the devotion, because this is a very important devotion for us, because of what I had spoken the last time, that it is for our times, and that she's actually our consolation for us while we're trying to stay true to the faith, and, you know, just...
Right. Reparation.
Try to make it through these times. You know,
reparation.
Right?
That's where it's reparation, it's penance, and we are coming in to such an important time with the feast day.
Right.
Well, Kathy, we do appreciate your time and such short notice. Thanks for being on with us here on Magnificat Radio, and do keep in touch. The canonical coronation anniversary in Quito, Ecuador, the 25th anniversary coming up on the 2nd, and then the actual transfer of the image, I think you said, right on the following Wednesday.
Yes, it's always the February 3rd. It goes back up to the upper choir loft.
Wonderful.
And she, you know, she remains cloistered with the nuns there.
Right.
So she's only out for a couple times a year.
Kathy Heckenkamp, you can go to her website, which is OurLadyOfGoodSuccess.com, and we have a link directly from Lisa's blog.
We do.
And all of this. So, Kathy, we do appreciate your time, and thank you so much.
Kathy.
God bless, and we'll keep in touch, huh?
Well, thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome.
See you later. Kathy Heckenkamp. She's a pleasant lady.
She is. Has a lot of information, too.
And there's a ton there. Mm-hmm. It's a busy, busy time as we start to get ready for Lent now. And we start to look a little bit more... Well, it seems like we just got out of a penitential season.
Right.
We did. It's very early this year.
It is very early.
You know, I was looking at when we were doing the masses, putting the mass in over the weekend and things,
mm-hmm.
looking at Sexagesima, like in 2011, it didn't happen until February 20-something.
Oh, wow.
It's like a month later, so it's a month early this year. Well, we will take a break and come back and finish up your morning or your afternoon, depending on when you're hearing us together with us. Stay tuned all day long as we'll have another conference from Father Peter Scott at noon.
Mm-hmm. Those are really good.
Yeah, they really are. And he's still working on the Catechism of the Council of Trent. So we'll have that coming up next. How many sandwiches did your mother make for you going through school in a brown bag lunch? And what kinds of sandwiches? What was your favorite sandwich? We'll find out. Lisa's favorite sandwich in a minute. Mike and Lisa Austin on Your Morning Tradition, where we are.
Living our faith.
Well, welcome back. I hope this is a, well, since we're called Your Morning Tradition, I hope it's your traditional way of starting your work week.
Yes.
We hope we can be a part of your joy, your life. Mike and Lisa Austin here, Your Morning Tradition on Magnificat Radio, MagnificatMedia.com, where we are.
Living our faith.
The flute. I've never been a big fan of the flute.
Oh, I like the flute.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was a jazz musician, and you'd have guys playing like jazz flute, like this guy.
Uh-huh.
I always thought, not doing it for me, but wasn't my call. Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da-da. All right, well, we're going to wrap up the day here and start taking a look more now at Lent. And tomorrow we want to delve in. Hopefully we get a chance to do this a little bit about taking some time out. Retreating away from the world. You know, we all don't have time to be able to actually go on a retreat.
Right, we don't.
Full-on retreat. But it's something you should try to do in a way before you get to Lent to put yourself in that mind frame.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to chat a little bit about that tomorrow. More on Lent, more on getting into the right frame of mind for Lent and things. Not certain about guests. But right now, I ask you, Lisa. Your mom made brown bag lunches for you, right?
She did.
Mine did, too. What did she make a lot of? What was your favorite sandwich?
It all depends on when, what year you're talking about. Like when I was a little kid,
yeah,
it would be like probably peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
That's the go-to, isn't it?
And as I grew older, meat sandwiches.
Oh, you got the meat.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I loved? And I, to this day, I can't handle it. But I loved it back then.
What?
Liverwurst.
Oh, I like liverwurst.
I love it, but I just it doesn't like me back.
Lots of mustard.
Oh, no. I always did mayonnaise.
Ew.
Now, maybe this is why I didn't, you know, maybe kids shunned me. You know, you get that liverwurst breath. What's Mike having for all liverwurst? His mom brought liverwurst again? What is she thinking?
We used to make our own bologna. We used to ground up our own bologna and pickles.
Oh, man.
And we used to make our own bologna spread. Oh, that was yummy, too.
Yeah. Now I want some.
Yeah,
We have Mom's old meat grinder in the garage. We could start doing that.
Sanitize it first?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You just run it through the dishwasher on the high steam heat, don't you?
Something.
Something to do it. Get some alcohol rub on it.
Uh-huh.
Get some rubbing alcohol in the cotton swab. Just run the meat through there. Let's go. Anyway, I bring this up because a young lady... A Brooklyn-based, now she's an artist.
Okay.
Now, how you make money at being an artist, I really don't understand.
I think it's hard.
Well, people have to buy your paintings or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're always trying to drum up publicity and things.
Sure.
But I like her motivation here. She, Jessica Ola is her name, and she did this crowdfunding thing, raised $3,500 to pay tribute to her mother, who used to always make brown bag lunches for her. Every day, it would always be the same one.
Oh.
Peanut butter or jelly.
Oh.
Peanut butter jelly. Again, peanut butter jelly. Now, you figure how many times you ate peanut butter jelly. She decided over her lifetime, her mother made her 2,340 peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
Wow.
Now, that takes some doing.
Yeah. I like it when the peanut butter and jelly, there's like lots of peanut butter with lots of jelly, yeah. and it's nice and juicy.
Remember when
Sister Mary Angeline?
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah.
I'd make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because we'd have to travel a ways to go to Mass.
We used to drive 2.5 hours, and we'd pick up this little Catholic nun, this little nun who was 90, what?
I think she was like 92 at the time.
Yeah. And she was the only one in the convent still dressed in full habit.
One of two.
Oh, that's right. There were two. And she was this little Polish nun, and we always took her to the traditional Latin Mass, which she loved.
Yeah.
And we'd drive 2.5 hours. So we'd pack food.
Right.
And Lisa made peanut butter jelly. And she would, it was the highlight of her week, I think.
She loved my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She said, they're so juicy.
You make the juiciest ones. Anyway, so 2,340 peanut butter jelly sandwiches over her lifetime, she figured her mother made for her.
And then remember when she tried to talk? Then it would get stuck. Oh.
No, that was when, what did
she
I make?
She was cute.
I tried to make pierogies one time for her.
Oh, that too. That was
they were like
that was
eating
on
bricks.
Christmas, as she said.
Oh, man. That was rough. Well, while we're talking food here. So she calculated out those numbers. She says, I will explore what it was like for my mother to give her time, energy, and love to make a bag of lunch 180 days per year for 13 years. So she is making like a sculpture out of 2,340 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh, interesting.
What I don't get is, are these on a platter? Do people get to eat them then? It doesn't say in the story.
She's making a sculpture, though.
Well, but you can have like a display as a sculpture and then say, okay, now it's time. We're going to serve them up to the poor. And you cut them up and you hand them out. You see what I mean?
Oh.
You could do that. I don't know that she is.
I thought maybe they should black them or something.
Oh, no.
It would be like this solid form of...
We're going to shellac them. Well, you know what? It's sad to say, but maybe that's what's going on here. I don't think it is. I hope it's not. But anyway.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. But she's paying tribute to her mom, so God love her for that. And I just hope that they use them to, you know, feed the poor. Give some PB&Js to the poor. 2,340 poor people.
Yeah.
Who could use it?
But how would you put the sculpture together with toothpicks or something?
I think she must be. She must have a big round
straws.
Maybe.
Maybe straws.
Toothpicks. But then you'd have the liability because then if you hand them out, you go like, hey, everybody, by the way, there's a toothpick there. Don't go munching down on that.
I don't know. It's interesting, though.
If you built it, though, with a big wide base and stacked them up like a pyramid, how tall would 2,340 PB&Js be?
Don't know. Depends on the base.
You see, friends, here on Your Morning Tradition at Magnificat Radio, magnificatmedia.com, you get traditional Catholicism, you get news, Catholic views, headlines, you get talking about our Blessed Mother and Quito, Ecuador, and you get geometry, engineering,
yes.
art, and food, all in one segment.
We try to make it well-rounded.
Yeah, we try to slip some food talk in at some point throughout the day.
Uh-huh.
That's what we do here. Hopefully you're going to do what you do there and get back here.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for being a part of our day. Mike and Lisa Austin in the bunker here on Your Morning Tradition. Magnificat Radio, magnificatmedia.com. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
All right. Oh, by the way, Magnificat Radio, where we are.
Living our faith.